1 Corinthians 8, 1-3. Now concerning food sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes one conceited, but love edifies people. If anyone thinks that he knows anything, he has not yet known as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by him.
Well, good morning. Good to see everybody. I just think you took another picture of that big fish. No? You caught a second one? Caught the same one twice. You keeping it in an aquarium? No? He showed me a picture. Just a second. Do you expect me to see that? Okay. Is that your grandmother? Yeah. 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 PJ and Austin's grandmother, if y'all don't know, she's been in the hospital since yesterday. And they have come to the decision that this is the end of her life, and that they will, we need to make prayers for comfort from the family in this time frame, and that they have to make a decision within 24 hours about just keeping her comfortable. So anyway, these things are always difficult and they're always hard, but we have hope in Jesus Christ, and that's where our hope is. So that's PJ and Austin there. Okay. So let's say a prayer for them right now. A gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being with us and helping us through each and every day. We thank you for our abilities to come to ask for help in time of need and in time of loss. We have so many things to be grateful for, and even though we have some losses that take place, dear Heavenly Father, we ask in all things your will be done, for your will is for all of us to be in heaven with you. And so, dear Heavenly Father, we pray for the Williams family. We pray for everyone involved. And dear Heavenly Father, we special prayer for PJ and Austin. And dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with them and help them and their family. And dear Heavenly Father, please forgive us of our sins and please help us to always do your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. You bet. You bet. Well, I'm glad you caught that fish again. I am sorry I wasn't there to see you do it, but boy, I'm glad to see you catch it again. Now, the best thing is you got the opportunity because you put it back, right? Now you can catch it again. Third time's the charm, right? Yeah. It's good to have you with us. I want you to see my bow tie. I am Irish. My family came over during the Irish potato famine. They came up through New Orleans and settled in Tennessee and in Arkansas. And now we have expanded into Oklahoma, so you look out. So that's kind of how we are. I wore this tie because, you know, all these people wear these T-shirts that say, I'm Irish, kiss me. Or kiss me, I'm Irish. But I've determined that I don't want y'all to do that. Because I see some of you guys out there, and I really don't want you guys coming out here and kissing me. So none of that. But anyway, I'm glad to be here with you today. I'm glad to be here with you today. Especially when we look at this picture that's up here. That's a great picture. That reminds me of me. Now, you have something there good to eat, you go and eat it. Well, I want to tell you about Corinth. And part of the deal with Corinth was that the Christians were asking whether or not they could eat the meat that was offered to idols. Most of y'all know this. They were asking whether or not they could eat the meat that was offered to idols. And in response, Paul was telling them, idols are nothing. Go ahead and eat it. It was okay. And the reason why it was okay was because idols literally don't count for anything. And they could get a discounted price on the meat if they bought it, if it had been offered to idols. So it's like going to Walmart versus going to Harps or going somewhere like that. It's a lesser cost. And so they could get it cheaper. So they were asking literally, you know, is it okay for us to eat this? And the answer was yes. But, there was a problem because a lot of the people were making special emphasis on the fact that it had been offered to idols. And they were making special reference to that if you ate the meat that had been offered to idols, then what happens is that you yourself are approving of the worship to the idol. And so Paul told them, if somebody offers you meat, go ahead and eat it. It's okay. But if they make a deal out of it, saying that it had been offered up to idols, don't eat it, don't even accept it. But push it away. And say that you won't take place with that. Now, what's interesting about that is this. We know that idols are nothing. We know that. We know that they're just statues a lot of times that have been created by man. And remember, I've told you before, idols come in a lot of different types. Money can be an idol. Your home can be an idol. A fishing boat can be an idol. Be aware of that. All these things can be an idol if we put them before God. Anything that we put before God becomes an idol. And so we cannot allow things to be put before God in anything in our mind, in our hearts, in our lifetime. Nothing can be placed before God. We know, as Paul says here, we know that an idol is nothing. So it's nothing to eat food that's been offered to an idol because it's been offered to nothing. That's what Paul is telling them there in Corinth. But the problem is that not everybody knows this. And therefore, we have to be careful about our weaker brother. Not everybody knows this. Not everybody understands this. And therefore, we have to pull back to make sure that if it causes our weaker brother to fall, or it causes problems with someone out in the world, that we don't get involved in those type of things. We stay away from those types of things. We don't get tied up with them. That's one of the reasons why Paul tells us that he intends to offend no one except in Jesus Christ. And basically what he's saying is, if you're offended by the word of God, then your problem is not with me, it's with God. And so he tells him, says, I will offend no one except in Jesus Christ. And he says, I won't preach anything except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because these are the important things. Now I want to ask you a question. When somebody asks you, what church do you attend? Your response is, I attend the Proto Church of Christ. Or I attend the Church of Christ in Illinois. Or down in Akron or Mena. I attend the Church of Christ. About 90% of the time when I tell somebody that I attend the Church of Christ, I get the same answer. Or the same response. Oh, y'all don't believe in music. Y'all heard that before? Oh, y'all don't believe in music. Folks, I've heard that so many times, I said, yeah, I believe in music. I even played the piano a little bit. Yeah, I believe in music. I like music. I like to sing. I like music. Well, y'all don't use it in your worship services. My response to that has developed over the years. Because they're using that as something to degrade what we do and what we teach. And so my response has become this. When they tell me you don't believe in music, or whether I don't believe in music, I usually say, yeah, I do. I believe in music. I like music. But then I go on to say, but if you really want to know what the difference is in what we teach and what you teach, I would like to talk to you about that. And the real difference that you will find in the world, in the denominational world out there, is that they do not believe that you have to be baptized to go to heaven. Now, I want to ask you the question, which is more important? Is it the fact that we don't use musical instruments up here during our worship service? Or is it the plan of salvation? Folks, we need to focus our attention 100% on that which is the most important. And that's why Paul tells us this about eating meat. Eating meat or not eating meat is nothing. It means nothing. Now, I'm not saying musical instruments up here don't mean something, because they do. But where I'm coming from is that our focus needs to be on that person going to heaven for an eternity. That's where our focus needs to be. And that's where Paul's focus was. Eating meat, not eating meat, that's not a big deal. But when it comes down to the plan of salvation, that's what's the big deal. How do you get to heaven? What do you need to do to be saved? These are questions that must be answered. These are questions that we must focus on, because there is a world out there that does not know that. There's a world out there that is hearing something contrary to the truth, which is the plan of salvation. And therefore, we must teach it. We must teach it to all people. We must follow the Great Commission and to go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. This is what we must do. This is why Paul tells us this, to be careful about these things, because we do not, under any circumstance, want to offend somebody outside of the Word of God. Now, we need to be careful of that. And that's what Paul is telling them there in Corinth. Now, notice this. Love supersedes knowledge. I've been talking to you the last 4 weeks now. This is the fourth week. And y'all didn't know this, but it's kind of a series of lessons that I've been giving you on how to go out into the world and teach the gospel to every creature. This is one of the keys. The key is the way we approach it, the way we go after it, will bring people to Christ or it will turn them away. It's one or the other. And so what Paul is saying, even though we have the knowledge that tells us that idols are nothing, be aware that not everyone else has that knowledge. And because not everyone else has that knowledge, we need to make sure that we approach this with love over our knowledge. Every time that we look at somebody to bring them to Christ, we look at them in the manner that we want you to come to Christ because we love you. We want you to have an eternity with God because we love you and God loves you. I am not trying to point my finger at you to condemn you. I am rather trying to bring you to the understanding that it was because of God's love that He sent His Son. And because He sent His Son, we have an opportunity to go to heaven. This is why. So therefore, our love for one another supersedes our knowledge. And I want you to know that oftentimes when I go out into the world and I talk to people and I see people, it's very interesting to me because of the congregations that have great knowledge in the Word of God. And I'm excited to tell you the churches of Christ teach the Word of God. Now, we have our divisions. We have our own problems. But I want you to know that people from the churches of Christ know more about the Bible than most people out there in the world. And so, realize that your knowledge may be greater than someone else's. But don't approach them in arrogance. Don't approach them in condemnation. Approach them with the love that Jesus had for all of us. Love supersedes our knowledge. Now, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, realize this, God put Jesus over all things. He is the head of all things to the church, which is His body. So therefore, if we have a brand new Christian, and we've got two of them, within the week, if we have a brand new Christian, realize that you may know more than that other Christian does. But are we not all in Christ? Are we not all part of His body? Do we not all have the hope of eternal salvation? Sure. Understand, being baptized You don't have to know very much at all. All you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and repent of the sins that you've committed. Turn away from them. Strive not to do them again. And I told our class this morning, I told y'all before, that when I was baptized, I came up out of that water, and the first thought in my head was, I'll never sin again. Yeah, it didn't last very long. But that was always the first thought. I'd never do it again because I was so full. And I asked Nick just a little while ago. I said, Nick, how'd you feel when you came up out of that water? And people had weights lifted off of them. They had feelings of love toward God. Their faith grew. I'll never forget this lady when I was down in Guyana. And this lady was in her 90s. And they baptized her. And when she came up out of that water, she was clapping her hands. She was dancing her feet. And she said, "Praise God!" over and over and over again. Folks, the eunuch went on his way because he had found God. We are all in Christ. And yes, some of us may know things more than others. But others may know things more than you. And so our job then is to help all of us grow together. Grow as Christians. Grow in knowledge. Grow in wisdom. And then go out in the world and help others to find that. But never forget that it's the love of God that got you to where you are. And therefore, it's the love of God that brings others into His kingdom. The things that are not a matter of salvation, we need to realize very plainly that those issues we can talk about later. But let's talk about what the real difference is. And so when those people come to me and say, "Oh, you don't believe in music," realize that that's not part of the plan of salvation. And that's why I have changed in the way that I respond, and the changes that I've made in response is, let me tell you about what the real difference is. Let me tell you what the plan is. Let me tell you how you can go to heaven. These are the things that we need to focus our attention on. Focus our attention on the weightier provisions of the law. The weightier provisions of the New Testament. The things in which bring you to Christ. Then we can have discussions after that about why we don't use musical instruments. We can have discussions after that about why we partake of the Lord's Supper on a weekly basis. We can have discussions about those things, and those things are important, and those things need to be discussed. But understand, those are not the things we need to focus on when we're talking to somebody who is at this level versus this level. When they have not been baptized, when they have not come to the point of belief, when they have not repented, those are the things we need to talk about first. We can talk about this other stuff later. So let's focus our attention on that. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8, Paul tells us, food does not bring us close to God. Focusing our attention on all those things of the world doesn't bring us close to God. Therefore, where we need to focus our attention is what does bring us closer to God. Always focus our attention on that. And therefore, it comes down to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. It tells us to take care that this freedom that we have, the knowledge that an idol is nothing, this freedom that we have, that this knowledge does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. And I want you to know that if I went to a congregation and the first thing I started doing was griping at them about their musical instruments that they were playing, guess what that would do? That would turn every one of them against me and they would just escort me right out the door. Folks, I mentioned just a minute ago about, you know, we have divisions in the churches of Christ. And I've told you about the one cup group and how it really concerned us because I didn't want to catch the flu or COVID or whatever it is that was passing around at that time. It really concerned us. But you know what? If I spent all my time up there condemning them about them using one cup, I wouldn't have been there 5 minutes. Because I've had about 50 of them escort me out the door. Folks, that's not something we need to get hung up in. What we need to get hung up in is what is real and make sure that we don't get hung up to the point of causing someone else to stumble. I'm not going to offend except in the Word of God. And like I said, if they're offended by that, then they have the problem with God, not me. So focus yourself on not hindering others to come to Christ. Focus yourself on bringing them to where they are and bringing them up from it. There are many in this congregation today that I could sit here and we could discuss things deeply. And I want you to know, there are some people around here that I really admire in this congregation that I hold up very high because their knowledge and their wisdom is incredible. Absolutely incredible. And I've even had one say, oh, you know, I talk too much. I don't want to offend, you know, and everything. I said, no. I said, teach me as you're teaching others. Help us all along the way. Because is that not our job to help each one of us that are in Christ to be better Christians? To learn more? To apply it better? To go out in the world and teach it? That's what we do. And so by doing that, we are raising ourselves up together. And so if you've got something to add in what I'm saying, add it. If you've got something to correct me, uncorrect me. I do not worry about somebody telling me, say, well, that's not exactly correct. It's this way instead. That's okay. Sue corrected me the other day on the eunuch. Because I was making comments about the eunuch on his way to Jerusalem to worship. She said, no, he wasn't on his way, he's on his way back. And so I went and looked it up, and sure enough, he's on his way back. Folks, realize, that's okay. That's good. Let's do it. let's help each other along the way. And we do it in a manner that we don't hinder their growth, but we encourage their growth. We do it in a manner of not condemnation, but in a manner of loving one another so that all of us will grow together. Isn't that how that's supposed to work? Isn't that wonderful when it works that way? And like I said, there are many sitting in this room right now, today, that I hold you up very high because I know your knowledge is great. Help me. Help me to help them. And let's all help each other. And one of the things that we talk about all the time, you hear this being said on television, all this stuff, that freedom isn't free. And we've got a lot of individuals that are here among this congregation that are former veterans, that are veterans, that were in the military and some branch of service. And there are people who have given their lives and given their all and come back with some major injuries and have dealt with those things for years and years and years. We know that. And the answer to that is, yes, you're exactly right. Freedom is not free. It is not free. And I want to put it in a different perspective. And I want you to think about this every time you see this slogan up there, freedom isn't free. Every time I want you to think about it. We are freed from the bondage of sin. Who paid that debt? We are free from the condemnation of an eternity in hell. Who paid that debt? Yes. There's a debt that needs to be paid, and guess what? Jesus paid it for you. So when we say freedom isn't free, that's exactly correct. Freedom is not free. Jesus paid it. Jesus paid it. And look at what Paul says. Paul says, I have become all things to all people. All things to all people. But realize why. He became all things to all people so that he might be able to save some. To the rich, he became rich. To the poor, he became poor. To the educated, he became educated. To the uneducated, he became uneducated. He became all things to all people so that they may know Jesus Christ. All that he did because he so loved us. I'm talking about Paul here, but I'm also talking about God and Christ. Paul prayed to God that if the Jews would just turn to Christ, that he would give up his salvation for all of them. That's a great love. Jesus tells us that no greater love hath man than to lay down his life for his brother. That's great love. God so loved us that he sent his son. That's great love. realize what I'm getting at, what I'm talking about here, is to go out in the world and preach the gospel. Not because you're condemning, not because you have better knowledge than anyone else, but because you love them as much as God loves you. That's what it comes down to. Love one another just as God has loved you. I want y'all to know that we've been contacted by the Christian Chronicles and they want to talk about the success we're having with our baptisms. And I don't know that they'll do it, but we are getting contacted by them. And one of the things that I want to tell you about in dealing with that is this. Yes, we've had a large number of baptisms over the last 3 years. A very large number. But the reason why is because of y'all. It's because you have stepped out. The baptism we had Wednesday night, I'm sitting there and I'm asking her about it. I asked her a question, and boy, she hit it right on the nose, just exactly. I said, "Why do you want to be baptized?" And she said, "To wash away my sins." And I go, "Okay, you're done. You're ready to go." And I want you to know, that wasn't me that taught her that. That was a young lady right over here that taught her that. Folks, realize, it takes all of us working together. It takes all of us teaching the Word. And it takes all of us putting the things that really don't make a big difference back here and focusing our attention on the things that really do matter. That really do make a difference. And that is, folks, the plan of salvation. Let's focus our attention on that. And let's keep on reaching out to our community. And let's keep bringing people to the kingdom of God. Let's do it together. Let's raise each other up. And bring each other along. This is our purpose. This is our goal. This is what we need to do. And I want to tell you all, thank you for what you are doing. Thank you for the love that you're showing to our community. Thank you for the love that you're showing one another. Thank you so much for the love that you have for Jesus Christ and for God the Father. If you have a need this morning, need for our prayers, or a need to be baptized, we want to give you that opportunity to come while together we stand.